reading from Jiva Dharma, chapter 3. One second. Okay, reading from chapter 3, I don't know what the page corresponds, but the jiva who is bound in this way cannot easily comprehend spiritual attachment, nor can he realize or experience such a thing. Reality, this spiritual attachment is the jiva's true function and his eternal nature. However, he forgets this and becomes engrossed in attachment to matter, although he is actually a particle of consciousness. Thus, he suffers degradation. This is a miserable condition, although hardly any of the jivas were thus entangled in samsara think so. Om Gyana Simranandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Namo Bhakti Vimogaya Sachidananda Namane Vora Shakti Surupaya Rupanuga Parayate Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha vipasindu bhayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Tomorrow I'll go to New York for 2 days. And then I'll be upstate for a couple of weeks. Maybe it's like my vacation or something. So, just to put where we're at, it's kind of a deep subject, but to put where we're at in context, we're following the story, history, the story written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of people coming to Krishna consciousness in the generation after Lord Chaitanya has passed the world, specifically in the island of Gojramdweep, in a beautiful Kunja forest bower. Is the hermitage of Paramahamsa Babaji, Premdas Babaji, who is a pure devotee of Krishna. And we're following the first story of one impersonalist sannyasi who becomes a devotee. And he undergoes this complete transformation. And then as we're following his life there, some various kirtan parties are visiting the Kunj. And there's one kirtanir who is from very aristocratic educated and wealthy family who was also highly trained in music. But his kirtan wasn't appreciated so much by the pure Vaishnavas because kirtan is spiritual love expressed through the discipline of music. So even though he had the discipline of music, he wasn't fully mature in spiritual love. So that type of kirtan, which is not an expression of spiritual love, but is mixed with material consciousness or ego, doesn't have a powerful spiritual effect. And those who know what real kirtan is can feel the difference because their musical discipline is not just an expression of spiritual love, it's just an expression of their ego. To the extent that it's an expression of their ego, it's not pure spiritual love. But anyway, this one particular person, he's come and he's doing kirtan. And now the Mayavadi sannyasi named Sannyas Thakur has just recently been initiated, and his name is Vaishnav Das. And in the middle of the assembly, this kirtanier with ego and from an aristocratic Brahmin family raises the question that there are certain daily activities for the Brahmin, certain rituals, which are called their nitya karma. And why are the Vaishnavas not adhering to them? The Vaishnavas, they may have some rituals. Rituals are also healthy if they are meant to position yourself in relationship to something higher than yourself. But the rituals are very much secondary in the life of a Vaishnava. Even Rupa Goswami mentions that one of the impediments to bhakti is niyamagraha. Niyam means rules, and niyama agraha means niyama agraha or niyama agraha, either too much attention to the rules or to follow the rules with faith in the rule, but not understanding the intention of the rule, and therefore following rules that don't serve their own intention. Where for a Vaishnava, if a rule does not follow, does not coincide with their intention to become spiritually uplifted, where they become merely packages rather than deliverers of some item, the Vaishnava. So, for one in that aristocratic Brahmin culture, the rules and these regulations, they call smarta Brahmins, that becomes their essence of religion. So he poses this challenge based on his own limited understanding. Why are these nitya karmas, these daily activities of the Brahmin, why are they not so much appreciated by the Vaishnavas? Now, see, he challenges, but the Vaishnavas, they really don't have taste to debate. They really, because their objective is not the power, is not power. And generally, the objective of debate is to gain superiority over the person you're arguing with. And as most people are both ego-based, winning an argument they're very attached to winning an argument, where a Vaishnava is not attached to winning an argument. Of course, he'll defend his principles, but on the basis of love for Krishna, but he's not interested in winning an argument. And they're not interested in engaging in so many useless debates. Look at the Facebook and all these kind of pages where people get into arguments and how important it is that they win the argument. And a lot of times it's based on the perception and prestige they have of themselves. So Vaishnavas are not, and it's actually a principle of Vaishnavism, that they avoid unnecessary debates and arguments. So, but still, because the person is brought up a challenge, publicly is brought up a challenge to the principles of Krishna consciousness, and because the principles of Krishna consciousness are the basis of the practice of Krishna consciousness, which is the foundation of receiving the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is prema, the Vaishnavas feel impelled that they must respond in a particular way. But Prem Das Babaji, he just points to Vaishnav Das. Now, that's very embarrassing for Vaishnav Das. And we get this vision of this culture. You get a vision of a culture where people always want to position themselves as a servant. So therefore, they're always trying to see and position themselves in relationship to something higher than themselves, which is God and the community of the Vaishnavas. So, especially since he's just been initiated, Vaishnav Das doesn't want to be the one to represent the assemblies of the Vaishnavas and take prominence in position, for fear that his consciousness may follow that. And that's antithetical to Krishna consciousness, where it is the epitome of humility, because it is the constant recognition of belonging to something greater than oneself. Dictation from whom is more the guide of our own life than our own desires. And unless you have that taste for the service of Krishna consciousness, and therefore the taste for the position of humility, one will fears thinking oneself superior. Because the vehicle for love to flow through our heart is the purity of consciousness. The purity of our consciousness allows love to flow through our heart. And a Vaishnava protects that. When he's really deeply feeling the flow of mercy and love in his heart, it is so wonderful that he is protecting that. And therefore, he's very hesitant to be praised. He's very hesitant to stand in the center. He's very hesitant to sit higher than others. And the only reason one will take that position is for service. On order from higher authorities. I always tell the story when I was first approached for initiation by someone, and I was so hesitant, and I asked this great saint in Vrindavan what to do, and then basically he asked if it was authorized. I said it was yes, and then he said, "Then I order you to do this, not me, but Prabhupada through me. But don't think your guru do it as a service to your spiritual master." So only on order and only in the mood of service will a Vaishnava risk taking any position that puts him above others and therefore threatens to invoke within him a consciousness of superiority. So Vaishnav Das agrees in a humble way and prays for Sri Chaitanya to inspire, realizing Sarvasya Chaham Hiri Sani Vishto Matasmitir Ganam above. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything is knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Everything is coming from me. So one cannot speak about Krishna unless he is an instrument for Krishna's teachings. And that requires the happy, small idea of humility. Let me be an instrument. And then he begins to explain. Because he, now the focus here in the dialogue is this point of whether, why Vaishnavas don't follow the nitya karma of the Brahmins, their daily activities. And this point is so essential to answer, to free oneself from the misconception that the essence of religion are these brahminical type activities, the regular way, the rule-based life is the essence of religion. So he explains, Vaidhi and Raganuga. Vaidhi basically means that your faith in spiritual practice is the rules of spiritual practice. I give the example. If you go to Mangalarti and you feel that you'll receive benefit because you follow that rule, that we should go to Mangalarti. So your consciousness is on finishing the activity. and not necessarily the activity itself. Where in Raganuga, the faith one has is in the service of Krishna. So real bhakti is rag bhakti. Doing things out of the faith of love rather than the faith of duty. Real bhakti is rag bhakti. And if he says, as long as the intelligence is under control of maya, a human nature must be regulated by rules. So maya means, illusion means, I am the controller and the enjoyer, and faith in that. As long as your faith is too much engrossed in material consciousness, faith that when I move the world around my desires, when the world conforms to my desires, I will be happy. When one has that faith, that trust in sublimity, then he must be regulated by rules, because he doesn't have the spontaneous love for Krishna. But that freedom from that material consciousness doesn't completely happen until one gets Krishna's mercy through the mercy of a Vaishnava. And during that time, the jiva's perfection is limited. But when one gets Krishna's mercy, then that love for Krishna awakens in one's heart. And one is strictly guided in his spiritual activities by the consciousness of what pleases Krishna. But until you really, that spiritual inclination is deeply awakened. Now remember, to get back to the point, what's going to be happening here is he's going to explain why at the platform of Raganuga Bhakti, when one really has a legitimate attachment in his heart, then he's not so much guided by rules. It doesn't mean that he doesn't follow them, but he does them for different reasons. He doesn't go to Mangal Arati because it's an obligation or duty. He goes spontaneously and enthusiastically because he loves to serve Krishna, as the residents of Vrindavan do Arati. When an advanced soul, a very evolved soul, is at Mangal Arati and is hearing the holy name, and he's meditating that at this time of the day, when Radha and Krishna at that time is called the Nishant Leela, after spending the evening together, they wake up, and the Sakis and the Manjaris, they do the Arti to invoke auspiciousness. So they're completely absorbed. They still do the activities. They still may do the various activities, but the consciousness is so different. So what he ultimately wants to show is that when a Vaishnava who really has bhakti is doing things out of pleasing Krishna, that's his guiding force, and it may not conform to the regulations and rules of serving Krishna. It may or may not. He may go to Mangal Arati out of spontaneous love, or what is even to set a good example for others. But he's not. It's not required for that person to serve Krishna to follow rules that obligate one to serve Krishna. She naturally wants to serve Krishna. But he's explaining because he wants to explain the necessity for the rules, because there is a necessity to follow and practice one devotion under certain guidelines and rules. But he also wants to explain that one with spontaneous love does not need to be guided in that way, in an obligatory way to serve Krishna. He's a naturally do it. And he may do it in his order rather than a pre-prescribed order of doing it. You have to do this now, you have to do this now, you have to do that now. But until this point, with that type of love to serve Krishna and that desire to serve Krishna, as the residents of Vrindavan are silent. In fact, how does this feeling awaken? One is practicing strictly Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy name, and then purifying their heart and praying, and then by reading the stories of Krishna and the stories of Chaitanya, and by worshipping the deities of Radha and Krishna, and hearing about those pastimes from qualified devotees, then that desire that I want to serve Krishna, that I want to love Krishna, in relationship to Krishna, as this devotee of Vrindavan is doing, wakens to the heart. But until this point of consciousness happens, to the extent that it's not awakened, then one will be guided by bodily attachments. And when you're guided by bodily attachments, then you are averse to things that are uncomfortable for the body, and you're attached to things that are comfortable for the body. And that's your basic attraction. That's your spontaneity is not love to Krishna. It's your spontaneity is your attachments and aversions. And if that's one's consciousness, one has to be guided by rules and regulations, otherwise one will follow his own material consciousness. And that will foster and increase material consciousness rather than devotion. To the extent that one is not freed from the bodily concept of life is to the extent that one's devotion must be guided by rules. And to the extent that one awakens a natural inclination in the heart is the extent that one's devotional service is not dependent on the obligation or duty to follow a particular regimen. So So before he answers the Brahmin's question about why the Vaishnavas don't follow the rules, he's explaining this principle of what real bhakti means. It's rag bhakti. It's serving Krishna out of love for Krishna. The mother doesn't need rules to guide her service to her child. Out of love for a child, she naturally serves. And if the love is not there or the selfish is not there, then the mother has to do it out of obligation or duty. So this exposition by this learned Vaishnav Das is going to explain first, as it's done, the sarup nature, the natural nature to serve Krishna that's awakened by devotion. And then it's going to explain those covered by material consciousness and why they have to develop faith in Shastra and faith in the rules of Shastra. So we'll read on. So he's now at the point where he's explaining the jiva who's attached, who's not yet at the level of spontaneity, and he's conditioned, and he's acquired this false nature, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and therefore he has no pure spiritual attachment to spiritual objects. And the therefore develops this conception, material conception, I and my. I am the body, and things in relationship to the body are mine. And therefore you become attracted to things that serve that bodily conception and averse to things that don't. And therefore, for such a person to execute spiritual life, he has to develop faith in the rules of spiritual life. Otherwise, you come under the sway of happiness and distress. I am happy when things satisfy me, and I'm not. And all these things bring us into this material condition of seeking happiness and distress on the basis of the body, the attachment for Kanaka gold or Kamini. Become attached to people who satisfy our lusty desires and things that accrue for us money and power. And that material consciousness is what binds one to the material world in samsara. Birth and then death and various conditions of life. You keep on moving in that way, various conditions, and when you're in that consciousness, it's so clear. When you don't shift your consciousness to the mood of servant, it's very difficult to understand what spiritual attachment is, because your modus operandi is the very consciousness that changes the nature of the soul, which is pure consciousness and love, to one of enjoyment and control. The jivas bound by maya are wholly unacquainted with the raga nuga nature, to say nothing of the ragatsaka nature. Ragatsaka nature is the nature of the residents of Vrindavan who love Krishna in a particular relationship, and the raga nuga nature is the aspiration for that. But that becomes your goal. I want to serve and love Krishna. And serving and loving someone means in relation. And therefore, I want to have this relationship to serve Krishna, as these residents of Vrindavan are doing. But this raga nuga nature is really only awakened in the heart of the jivas. He's explaining, this is all Vaishnav Das explaining to all the assembled Big Perry. He's explaining the spontaneous nature, because if you understand the spontaneous nature, you'll understand that there's another way to fix one's consciousness on God rather than being subjugated to ruling your life by laws. But he's also explained how it's rare, and therefore, to be purified, one generally needs to be in this consciousness, and that's what the Shastras say. They encourage someone to do things because it is right, rather than because one is in love. And bhakti means one is in love. But this is, it's the mercy of great souls that this can be awakened in the heart. And therefore, this raga nuga nature, as we see, is rare and difficult to obtain. And especially those entangled in samsara, I want wealth, I want women, I want followers, my life, happiness and distress. My happiness is endorsing the material conception of life. My distress is when that's diminished, that kind of, and therefore it's rare, and we see. Even to find people with rare, real, spontaneous devotion is rare. So now he's going to explain how Krishna knows this, how he's all-knowing and merciful, and therefore he sees how the jivas bound, he's explained, bound by maya, have been cheated of this spiritual inclination. It's covered. It's covered by adopting the nature of the enjoyer and controller. And therefore, Krishna is thinking, how can remembrance of Krishna be aroused in the hearts of the jivas who are enthralled by maya? And they only understand that associate of Krishna if they associate with sadhus, which are rare. Consequently, because people are lacking this and so enthralled in maya, he's explaining that there's no auspiciousness for people in general without the path of rules and regulations, without Vidhi Marg, without being faith and attraction to adhere to discipline and rules. It's hard to actually remember Krishna, and therefore the Shastras are manifested from this consideration by Krishna. That unless people are ruled and develop faith in those rules, it will be hard for those people enthralled in material consciousness to break the bonds and remember Krishna. And therefore, by Krishna's mercy, the son of the Shastras arise in the hearts of the ancient rishis and pouring forth from them is the injunctions and rules to be followed by the populace. And I'll read and then we'll stop. In the beginning was the Veda Shastra. In some places it teaches pious activities directed towards the entanglement of material fruits. Some places it teaches karma to regulate your life, even if you have a material goal, to read scriptures, even if you have a material goal, to meet saintly persons, even if you have a material goal. The Shastras offer material goals because people are materialistic and they won't get the association of priests unless they feel they'll assist them in their material endeavors. And in other places, the Shastra teaches knowledge directed towards liberation. Yeah. And elsewhere, it teaches devotion with love and affection for Bhagavad. The jivas who are infatuated with Maya are found in many different conditions. Some are completely stupefied, some have little knowledge, and some are knowledgeable in many subjects. The Shastras provide different instructions that are consistent with the different mentality known as adhika. So people have different qualifications, and the scripture prescribes different rules and different activities so that all people, regardless of their adhikari, in a proper culture guided by the Shastras, can get the understanding and ideas they need to move closer to God. There are countless individual jivas, and they have innumerable varieties of adhikar, which have been divided into three broad categories according to their primary characteristics: karma adhikari, eligibility for pious action leading to material gain; jnana adhikari, eligibility for knowledge leading to liberation; and prem adhikar, eligibility for unalloyed love for Krishna. The Vedic Shastra specifies these three types of eligibility, establishes proper codes of behavior for those in each of the three groups. The dharma that the Vedas are thus prescribed is known as Vaidhi Dharma. So the Vedas give Vaidhi. It gives the various guidelines that people without pure attachment must follow to purify their heart. So I guess the conclusion to that question is going to come. Yes, there is a necessity for the rules and regulations, but you cannot criticize the pure Vaishnavas who are not bound to various prescriptions and rules in terms of their love for Krishna. So are there any questions? Okay, would anyone like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Gail.
Yeah, I do have one question.
Okay, please.
For those of us who don't have the spontaneous attraction, Krishna is providing the rules in the Shastra.
Right.
For those of us who even have problem following the rules of the Shastra, what's the hope? Is it supposed to just like hearing classes like these continually, you know?
Well, it's The inclination is there. There's people who don't have the inclination. So first, the inclination may be there to follow the rules, but one may not be able to follow everything.
Right.
But at least the inclination is there. So that's different from someone who's just has no faith in Shastra. So the basic principle is absorption in God. And it can come from an obligation or duty, or it can come from our love. So bhakti is the path of love. And therefore, we read so many scriptures that Prabhupada gave that invoke this sentiment and invoke this love. And to the extent that that love is awakened, we begin to serve Krishna spontaneously.
So if the inclination to follow the rules is there, we can assume that eventually the person will follow the rules. Eventually.
Well, the rules for bhakti is also love, because they tell you how to please Krishna. It's just eventually one won't do it because it's obligatory. They'll do it because this is how one pleases Krishna. So even in spontaneous devotion, it doesn't mean that one doesn't follow the rules, but he follows the rules because these activities will please Krishna. But the essence of his inspiration is the pleasure of Krishna. And in terms of following the rules, or what rules, or what practice, we have simple practices and simple rules, and if we're not successful, we just have to keep on hearing and develop our faith and develop our attraction for Krishna. Because those are the two things that impel us to be stricter in our Krishna consciousness. An understanding that something is good and an actual experience that something is good.
Yes, I guess hearing is the answer then.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello today? Okay, then we'll end for now. Thank you, Venerable.